Bruchim Habayim, everybody. Welcome to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Miketz, and a lichtige Chanukah to everybody. Very special to be able to have a shiur, Parsha Insights, and during Chanukah. As we mentioned the last few weeks, the shiurim are sponsored Lezecha Nishmas Uleili Nishmas, Rebecca Basarina, and Leon Ben Rachel. Be'ezras Hashem, their neshama tahiras should be zeicha to have a lichtig an Eden. And once again, keep in mind the names Rebecca Basarina. And it's such a schus and how wonderful it is that we're able to have the Parsha Insights, not only as we said for Parshas Miketz, but also Lechoid Chanukah 5782 Tavshin Pei Beis. I want to dedicate this year to finding the connection between the two. Why is it most often Parshas Miketz will fall out during Chanukah, as we'll be approaching in a couple days Shabbos Chanukah, Rosh Chodesh as well? It's going to be Parshas Miketz. So I thought it would be nice to dedicate this year to this idea. What is it, or I should say, what are the connections between Parshas Miketz and Chanukah? So the truth is, I know that if I went around to the people in the Heichal or those on the phone, or as I often say, those that will eventually listen to the recording, I bet you if we went around, everybody would be able to give their own connection between Parshas Miketz and the story of Chanukah. And they'd all be correct. There are probably dozens, maybe even countless dozens, of connections and correlations between this week's Parsha Miketz and Chanukah, and that so often it falls out one within the other. Perhaps one of the most well-known would be, if you look in a Chumash, at the end of every Parsha, it always tells you how many psukim were in that Parsha. Parshas Miketz is unique in that it's the only Parsha, if you open up a Chumash, you don't have to do it now, but do it on Shabbos Kodesh, don't we always say that Parsha Insights is not only to give us a greater understanding of the Parsha, but to bring about that on Shabbos, let's share the Divrei Torah, share it at the table, share it with a friend, say it over to enhance our Shabbos Kodesh. If you open up a Chumash, you'll see by Parshas Miketz, it's the only Parsha that at the end, it not only lists the number of psukim, but also the number of words. That's extraordinary to be the only Parsha that uniquely lists the number of words. And of course, there's a very well-known pshat. How many words does the Tanya Chumash at the end of Parshas Miketz that there are? Oh, you're going to get a Chumash to test if what we're saying is correct. It says 2025. That's how many words are in Parshas Miketz. So the Mefarshim tell us so beautifully that is so apropos for Shabbos Chanukah. And that's why Parshas Miketz almost always falls out on Chanukah, because the hint and allusion is as follows. We know that while we have the custom, we light Mahadran Minah Mahadran every night, an additional one according to the Shita Beis Hillel, one, then two, then three, then four, up to eight. But the basic mitzvah requires you to light just one ner each and every one of the eight nights. Do the gematria ner, nun resh is 250. And each night you're lighting one. So that means there's ner times eight. 250 times eight is 2,000. And of course we know that what night of Kislev does Chanukah begin? The 25th. And therefore the Mefarshim say that's indicated by the exact number of words found in Parshas Miketz. How many words are there in Parshas Miketz? 2,025. Because that's the exact gematria. 2,000 is ner, nun resh, times eight. A single ner each one of the eight nights. And the last 25 indicating the 25th night of Kislev, which is when Chanukah begins. That's probably one of the most well-known correlations and reasons given why Miketz is almost always Shabbos Chanukah. If a person would take a look in the beginning of the parasha, the dreams of Paro, you certainly would want to draw upon another connection between the two. In the beginning of the parasha, it speaks about two dreams But the commonality between the two dreams, in the first of Paro's dreams, there were cows that were thin and weak, and surprisingly, they devour the strong and the robust cows. The same thing happens in the next dream with the ears of grain. You have the one that's thin, and that devours the one that's healthy and robust. But wouldn't that be very similar to hinting to the miracle of Hanukkah, where we say in the Alanisim, Masarta Gibayrim Biyad Chaloshim, Hashem, you delivered the strong, meaning the Yevanim, into the hands of those that seem to be physically weak, meaning Klal Yisrael. Again, another beautiful connection between Parshas Mikes in the beginning, Paro's two dreams, and the miracle of Hanukkah. Just like we find in the two dreams of Paro that we just referenced, it was the weak and the thin that ended up devouring and consuming the strong and the robust. That's what we mean in the Alanisim when we say a miracle was Gibayrim Biyad Chaloshim. Just like the dreams, that was part of the miracle in the story of Hanukkah. There would be another fabulous connection. The Sefer Mata Moshe brings down, and it's extremely important to listen to this pshat from the Mata Moshe, not only because of how extraordinary it is, but it's also going to tie into the very end of the shiur. The Mata Moshe brings down, you want another connection? Another reason why we have Parshas Miketz and Shabbos Chanukah, because if you take a look in the very beginning of the Parsha, the Pasuk tells us, it happened at the end of 2 years. We know there's a very famous Gemara in Shabbos, Chof Beis Amid Aleph, where the Gemara teaches us, how does one, when they're walking into their home, have the menorah and have the mezuzah? So we know that the halacha is, the Gemara tells us, obviously one should light on the left side, because when they're walking into their home, and again, please listen to this pshat well, although I believe it's the fourth reference we're giving between the connection of the parsha and Hanukkah, but this one we're going to reference again at the end of the shiur, so listen carefully. When one lights, they should light ideally on the left side of the doorway. Why? Because opposite of that, when you're walking into the home, the mezuzah is affixed on your right. And this way you're surrounded by mitzvahs, the mezuzah on your right, and you kindle the menorah on your left. That's a halacha, that's a gemara in Shabbos, Chof Beis Amid Aleph as well. So the Matan Moshe says so beautifully, what was the third word of the parsha? Shinasayim. Mayrai v'ravoisai, how do you spell the word shinasayim? Shin, nun, sof, yud, mem. The Sefer Matan Moshe says that hints at the halacha that we just said, that when you're lighting, you should light the candles on the left, and you should have the mezuzah on the right. Because what does Shinasayim stand for? Shin, Nun, Sof, Yud, Mem, Simol, Ner, Tadlik, Yemin, Mezuzah. If you take the first letter of those five words that I just mentioned, it spells the word Shinasayim, says the Matan Moshe, that teaches you on the left should be the menorah, and on the right should be the mezuzah. We'll say it again, right on your paper, or on the blackboard of your heart, Shinasayim, Shin, Nun, Sof, Yud Mem. Shin Nun Sof stands for Simol on the left hand, Ner Tablik, light the menorah. And the last two letters of Shinasayim, the Yud and the Mem, standing for Yamin Mezuzah. On the right side is the mezuzah. But again, remember that pshat because we're going to need it for the end of this year. Mayav Rabbeisai, we've given many, or certainly a fair number of connections between Parshas Miketz and Shabbos Chanukah. But there's an extraordinary pshat brought down. The Chofetz Chaim speaks about this concept. Other Mefarshim speak about this concept, and perhaps this is one of the strongest connections between Parshas Miketz and Shabbos Chanukah. Of course, all the hints and allusions and ramazim and connections that we gave until now are extraordinary. But the following concept, based on the words of the Chofetz Chaim and other Mefarshim, is something that each and every one of us can relate to. Open up your hearts to this pshat. Why is it that these two are so intrinsically connected? Parshas Miketz and the story of Chanukah. We spoke a little bit last week, and we spoke on Shabbos Kodesh as well, that the Parshiyos, last week's Parsha, the Parsha Vayeshev, next week's Parsha, the Parsha Vayigash, all three of these Parshas very much deal with the story of Yosef. This past week, on Shabbos in the Drasha, we addressed very clearly and specifically the connection between the story of Yosef and the story of Chanukah. But listen to this. While it's true that all three parshas we just mentioned, last week, this week, and next week, parshas Vayeshev, this week Miketz, next week Vayigash, all have within them the story of Yosef, but there's a very big difference between Miketz that's sandwiched in middle of the other two. The story primarily began last week in Parshas Vayeshev. The story primarily ends next week in Parshas Vayigash when Yosef reveals his identity to his brothers. But Parshas Miketz is sitting squarely in the middle of the story. If you look at last week's Parsha, there's a certain element of clarity. Certainly in next week's Parsha, there's a strong level of clarity, but Parshas Miketz is an entire Parsha of uncertainty. The entire Parsha, the beginning of the Parsha, the end of the Parsha, the beginning of Parshas Miketz, we talk about Yosef in prison. The end of Parshas Miketz, we talk about Binyamin's fate hanging in the balance. The entire Parsha of Miketz is an entire Parsha of uncertainty, unlike last week, Vayeshev, unlike next week, Vayigash, beginning to end, Bako Mikol Kol, it's a Parsha of uncertainty. And yet, we do find out, and we end up learning the entire story, that there's a master plan behind everything. The Ribbono Shel Olam is running the world. Mayrei V'Rabbeisai, is that not the epitome and the essence of the story of Chanukah? When the Jews felt a great degree of uncertainty, we're going to talk about it more in just a bit, with Shabbos being challenged, Mila being challenged, Chodesh being challenged, Lashkichon Torasecha, to take away our ability to learn, our very weapons of war. There's a great deal of murkiness, a great deal of uncertainty that shrouds the entire story of Chanukah, but that's the light behind the darkness. That Chanukah is exactly the lesson of Miketz. Harav Zev Lef, Zoler Gesund und Stark Sein, in his inimitable style, says it so beautifully. The Chachamim deliberately divided the weekly Parsha, and they made now Chanukah, Shabbos Chanukah, ending Parshas Miketz, because sometimes you have to wait until next week's Parsha to see how everything's going to unfold. Isn't that true in life? Isn't that the reality of sometimes what we go through on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis? Sometimes a person has to wait until next week's quote-unquote Parsha to see how everything is ultimately for the good. And so that is the light behind the darkness. What an extraordinary connection between Miketz and Shabbos Chanukah, a Parsha that is all uncertainty. Oh, how does that end? It ends because in next week's Parsha, all of a sudden, Yosef reveals himself, and he reveals his identity to his brothers with two very famous words. He says, Ani Yosef. And that's what it's going to be when Mashiach comes, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal himself by saying, Ani Hashem. That's Chanukah, that's the lighting of the menorah, and that's the uncertainty of Parshas Miketz followed by Parshas Vayigash with the words, Ani Yosef. That's an extraordinary connection in terms of life between the two. The same way everything ultimately in next week's Parsha, one realized ultimately it was for the good. And that's the light behind the darkness. When Yosef said, Ani Yosef, that's the Oirei Shel Mashiach, the light of Mashiach, the light of the Menorah, the third and everlasting Beis HaMikdash that we're waiting for, when we hear those two words, except those two words will be no uncertainty. Those two words will be crystal clear. They'll be the words of Ani Hashem. Now, how can we tie this uncertainty into another connection between Parshas Miketz and Shabbos Chanukah? I mentioned a few moments ago the three mitzvahs that primarily the Yevonim wanted to abolish. They wanted to stop us from fulfilling, and that was, of course, Chodesh, Milah, and Shabbos. Why those three? What's the tzad hashoveh between those three, Chodesh, Milah, and Shabbos? What is it about those three that the Yevonim were bent specifically on stopping our performance of those three? Now, before we could answer that, we first have to take a look at another connection between this week's parsha, the parsha of uncertainty, and Shabbos Chanukah. If you take a look in Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, you have a chumash in front of you. Take a look at Mem Aleph, Lamed Dalet. Yosef explains to Paro what his dreams mean. Essentially, his dreams mean that there is going to be 7 years of plenty, and that's going to be followed by 7 years of a famine. So Yosef suggests we have to properly prepare. What does the Pasuk tell us? V'chimesh es eretz Mitzrayim. V'chimesh means you have to prepare. Prepare the land of Mitzrayim because there's going to ultimately be a famine. And although now you seem to be comfortable and have what to eat, one always has to prepare. Prepare the land for the upcoming 7 years of famine. Listen to an extraordinary explanation from the Bnei Yisoskar. And I'd like to tell you that what we're about to mention now, mostly by and large, is a maimer from the Heilige Bnei Yisoskar, Zechusa Yagan Aleinu. Listen to an extraordinary, extremely moving and profound maimer from the Bnei Yisoskar. He says, if you take a look at the word v'chimesh and prepare yourself, chimesh are the three letters ches, mem, and shin. And of course, ches, mem, and shin stands for chodesh, Milah, and Shabbos. The Bnei Yisoskar tells us that when Yosef was talking about preparing the land, of course he was talking about in a physical sense and in an agricultural sense. You got to prepare the land because there's going to be a famine. But he was telling Klal Yisrael ultimately, because we were going to be there for 210 years, something very, very, very critical. You're about to be here. You have to prepare yourselves. And the way to properly prepare this land is v'chimesh es eretz Mitzrayim. Again, how do you spell the word chimesh? Ches, mem, shin. It stands for chodesh, milah, and Shabbos. You want to prepare, I don't mean physically and agriculturally, I mean even more than that, spiritually. You know that Mitzrayim is the most immoral, debased society. Do you know that one of the reasons we give our children a bracha Friday night to be like Ephraim and Menashe? Why Ephraim and Menashe? They weren't Shvatim. They were grandchildren of Yaakov. Why specifically Ephraim and Menashe? One of the most moving explanations is because Yosef brought up these children in the tumah, the impurity, the spiritual filth of the land of Mitzrayim. And yet, Ephraim and Manasseh remain so hailed, so dehoibin, so spiritual, so pure, so rain. That's the bracha we give our children, Yisimcha Okim, Ephraim and Manasseh. You should remain pure. We know what type of world we live in. We know the spiritual onslaught that seems to be greater and greater each and every day. The greatest blessing we could give our children is to be like Ephraim and Manasseh, just as they were brought up in the most immoral, spiritually debased societies out of the land of Mitzrayim, and yet they remained pure, and yet they remained angelic, dehoibin. That's what we wish our children. To be like Ephraim and Manasseh, with all the spiritual challenges and with all of the spiritual onslaught that there is out there, to accomplish what Yosef did in raising his children. Is there a more meaningful bracha that we could give our children to emulate Ephraim and Manasseh in that sense? So apparently Yosef is teaching us that to be successful in that area against a land of Mitzrayim v'chimesh, you have to prepare yourself spiritually. Ches mem shin, chodesh, mila, Shabbos. You know this was way before the Yavanim tried to attack these three mitzvahs. What is it about these three that Yosef felt was the end-all, be-all that we have to make sure is here? And perhaps that would give us a little insight and understanding why the Yavanim felt it was so critically important to get rid of those three. What is it about these three mitzvahs of Chimesh, Chodesh, Mila, and Shabbos that make them so unique? The Bnei Yisachar tells us something. The Bnei Yisachar tells us that these three mitzvahs are unique and special in the sense that they are the foundation of Yiddishkeit. Why is Chodesh, Mila, and Shabbos our foundation? Because these are the three mitzvahs that cause the Shechinah to rest amongst us. And if we want any chance of survival, listen to my words clearly, Meirai V'Rabbeisa, you're looking at me in the Heichal. If we stand any chance of survival, it's only if the Shechinah resides with us and amongst us. And that's why we've often said, make sure our home is one where the Shechinah would feel comfortable entering. These three mitzvahs of Chodesh and Mila and Shabbos are the three mitzvahs that cause the Shechinah to rest with Klal Yisrael. Let's look at one at a time, the mitzvah of Bris Mila. All of a sudden, through Bismillah, we become the Kli, the vessel, that the Shechinah can dwell within us. We see that all of a sudden, Hashem came to Avram Avinu right after he performed the mitzvah of Bismillah. Why? Because Mila brings the Shechinah to reside with us. Shabbos is the same concept. If a person takes a look, says the Bnei Yisachar, at the mitzvah of Shabbos, we establish his dwelling with a capital H amongst us. Doesn't the Pasuk say, V'shamru b'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos la'asai, says ha-Shabbos l'dayreisam. How do you translate the word l'dayreisam? For generations. But we know that Chazal tell us that without the letter Vav, it becomes the word l'dirasam. A dira is a dwelling. Shabbos is the dwelling. Hashem comes to dwell and reside amongst us on Shabbos. And finally, Chodesh. Each and every month we give a bracha, we bless the new moon, each and every month. By Kiddush Levana we say the words, Il mole loy zocho Yisrael al haklil p'nei avinem sheba shemayim kol chodesh v'chodesh dayam. If it would just be this once a month that we'd be privileged to greet the Shekhinah, the countenance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it would have sufficed. In other words, it is bringing the Shekhinah into our lives. And so says the Bnei Yisachar, Yosef has to prepare Eretz Mitzrayim.
not only in a physical agricultural sense with irrigated fields and storehouses filled with wheat. You got to prepare spiritually. You got to prepare so that you're able to give your children a blessing every Friday night, Yisimcha Elokim, Kefrayim Mechim Menashe. That doesn't happen in a vacuum.
That happens when even though you're in the most immoral and spiritually debased society in the world, that of Mitzrayim, Yosef is still able to bring up Ephraim and Menashe with that purity and that reinkheit and that dehoibenkheit. Because Yosef is teaching us, v'chimesh, prepare for golos, get ready with spiritual preparation. Ches Mem Shin, Chodesh, Mila, and Shabbos. As we've said, the commonality and the uniqueness, what makes those three so special, is that is at the foundation of our Yiddishkeit. Because those three cause the Shechina, like we said by Mila with Avraham Avinu, like we said with Shabbos L'dirasam, and like we said from the Nusach HaTfila that we say in Kiddush Levana, these three bring the Shechina with us. You want to stand a chance today? We do. We would love the blessing in ourselves and our children, Kefrayim and Menashe. It comes from having a home and a place where the Shechina could reside and feel comfortable. And that's why Yosef said correctly, V'chimesh, get the land ready. Start preparing, because they're going to be here for a couple hundred years. You better make sure. And obviously, I know we fell to almost the 50th level of impurity. I'm aware of that. But at the very least, Yosef is telling us to prepare with Chodesh, Mila, and Shabbos. And now perhaps Yosef, who knew that Golos was impending and he understood that there was going to be the physical danger, there was going to be the spiritual danger, he said we have to emphasize Chodesh, Mila, and Shabbos because we have to draw Kodesh Baruch Hu closer and into our midst. Now let's fast forward to the times of Hanukkah. The Yevanim want to create a spiritual onslaught against Klal Yisrael. The Yevanim want to get us on around the jugular, and they essentially want to remove, it's a painful thing to say, not only did they want to remove the Shechina from amongst us, they wanted to remove any semblance of godliness from Klal Yisrael. You know that because of Chazal that tell us they made us right, Al Keren Hashar, on the horns of an ox, that we have no chelek in Hashem. And why on the horns of an ox? Because that was used as a baby bottle. So while the babies were drinking the milk and while the babies were getting their nourishment, the Yevanim wanted the eyes to see. There's no Shechina, there's no Chelek with Hashem, there's no godliness. That's what the Yevanim wanted. Al Keren Hashar, because the Keren Hashar represented the baby bottle. So our children's eyes would not be Kefrayim Mechem Menashe. Our children's eyes would be fixed on the words that the Yevanim wanted to accomplish. So what were the three mitzvahs that the Yevanim were seeking to obliterate? The very three that we just said Yosef insisted be strong. The Yevanim wanted to obliterate Chodesh, Mila, and Shabbos. But now you know why. Now you know why specifically those three, because those three were the ones that represented the Shechina, the godliness, Hashem's presence residing with us, us drawing closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's why Yosef was so insistent, and it's why the Yevanim specifically wanted to obliterate those three. Because the Yevanim realized that if we get a bit of Shabbos, Chodesh, and Mila, we could swallow up the entire nation once and for all. The good news is we won. The good news is that we're able to light a menorah from a Pach Shemen. You know what the Gemara in Shabbos Chav Beis Amud Beis tells us? Why we light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash? Why does one light the menorah? Did you ever wonder? Every single day in the Beis HaMikdash, the menorah was lit. Why? Why'd you have to light the menorah every day? The Gemara in Shabbos Chav Beis Amud Beis tells us, Eidus Hi is to serve as a testimony Leba'i Olam, for all of mankind forever, Shehashchina Shoira B'Yisrael, that the Shechina dwells with Klal Yisrael.
Now we understand the Rebbeira. It almost wants to make us go back to the three nights we already lit and redo it.
At least we have another five nights to get it right.
Now we know why we're lighting the Menorah. The Menorah that was lit in the Beis Hamikdash each and every day was the greatest manifestation and proclamation that the Shechina Shoira B'Yisrael, the Shechina is dwelling within Klal Yisrael. That is the ultimate victory against Chodesh Milan Shabbos that they were seeking to obliterate. Yosef said the Chimesh, we needed to prepare. Years later, the Yevanim came ahead and wanted to obliterate Chodesh Milan Shabbos. Why? Because if they get rid of those three unique and special mitzvahs, then they sever our connection to godliness, like on the Keren Hashor.
They remove us from the Shechina. When we were Baruch Hashem successful and Hashem allowed the victory, now every day there's a menorah to be lit in the Beis Hamikdash. Why is that menorah lit? To serve as a testimony forever, Shehashchina Shoira B'Yisrael. That's what a life with Chodesh, Mila, and Shabbos looks like. We draw closer to Hashem. His presence resides with us. And then, Baruch Hashem, we're able to succeed. The B'nai Sassler concludes very beautifully, and he says, Yosef at his time did succeed, which would certainly explain why we give our children that bracha of Ephraim and Menashe. And the B'nai Sassler ends with a beautiful gematria. He says, you want to see how successful Yosef was? When Yosef descended into Mitzrayim until we left, how many years were there? There were exactly 232 years. How do you know that? Because there were 22 years from Yosef's sale until Yaakov coming down to Mitzrayim. How many years was there from Yaakov's coming down until the exodus when we left? 210. The 22 plus the 210 is a total of 232 years. 232 years exactly from Yosef going into Mitzrayim until we left. The words Yehi Or, there was light, is the exact gematria of 232. That's the B'nai Yisachar. Because Yosef succeeded in keeping the ideal of the Shechina residing with us through Chodesh, Mila, Shabbos, V'Chimesh. How many years exactly were there from his descent until we left? Exactly 232. The words Yehi Or, there was light, Yud Hey Yud, and Or Aleph Vav Resh is exactly 232, indicating that when you have those mitzvahs, you have light. You have Shechina Shruya Beinehem. To conclude the shir, I'd like to reference that pshat from the Matan Moshe. Remember when we started the shir, I told you, you have the mezuzah on one side and the menorah on the other side. I mentioned that we're going to have to get back to that pshat. Perhaps we could explain with a beautiful explanation from the Ben Ish Chai. The Gemara I referenced tells us that on one side, on your right side when you enter your home, you have the mezuzah. On the left side, you should light the menorah, because that represents being surrounded by mitzvahs. But actually, if you take a look, the Ben Ish Chai, as others teach us, that when you enter through your doorway on Chanukah, you're going to be bringing three mitzvahs together. We mentioned already that on the right there's mezuzah, on the left there's menorah, and you who are wearing the pair of tzitzis, bring all three together. It's not for now. We have a few minutes before we conclude, but there are actually many, many connections between the mitzvah of tzitzit and the miracle of Chanukah. The Sfasemes and others speak about it. Perhaps one that jumps at you right away is when we kiss the tzitzit, we say psil techeles. And psil, besides meaning that thread, psil is also a wick, a reference to the wick of the menorah. So there are many connections between tzitzis and Chanukah, but the Ben Ish Chai tells us, imagine that person is walking through his doorway. There's three mitzvahs that are being brought together. There's the mitzvah of tzitzis that he's wearing, there's mezuzah on the right, and there's Chanukah, the menorah, on the left. And all three are brought together. Similar, or as the Pasuk tells us in Kehelet, v'chut ha-meshulash leibim heri yinatek, the three-ply cord is not easily severed because you have these three mitzvahs, you in the center with tzitzis. On the right-hand side, the mezuzah, and on the left-hand side, Chanukah, where you light the menorah. Says the Ben Ish Chai so beautifully, these three mitzvahs, when you bring them together, these three can help bring Mashiach. Why? Because we know that in Shemoneh Esrei we say in the bracha, Estemach David Avdecho Meheres Atzmiach. How we're waiting for David Ben Yishai. How we're sprouting to see Mashiach. Estemach David Meheres Rabbeisai. How do you spell the word Semach? Tzadi Mem Ches. It stands for Tzitzis, Mezuzah, and Chanukah. Those three mitzvahs of Chanukah that are brought together, tzitzis in the middle, mezuzah on the right, and Chanukah, the lighting of the menorah of the left, they have the ability, says the Ben Ish Chai, that's chus to help bring Mashiach, and that's a kavana you should have. The next one, Esau, you say, Es Tzemach David, the Tzadi, the Mem, and the Ches, tzitzis, mezuzah, and Chanukah, the menorah. Just to conclude, I was thinking to myself, perhaps we could say that these three mitzvahs that the Ben Ish Chai says are brought together on Chanukah, when you walk through the doorway in the middle, on the right and the left, which is the Rosh HaTevis, Tzemach, tzitzis, mezuzah, and Chanukah, maybe they allude and refer and hint to the three mitzvahs that Yosef said have to be present in our spiritual gullus that the Avonim were seeking to obliterate and we, Baruch Hashem, brought back. Maybe those three mitzvahs can very easily be tied in to the other three mitzvahs, perhaps, because one was Shabbos. Shabbos would certainly tie into Chanukah and Menorah. How often are there Gemaras that speak about the lighting of the Menorah and the lighting of the Lichbenchen of the Shabbos Neiros? So certainly Shabbos and Chanukah could parallel each other. Similar, I thought that the mitzvah of Mila may very well parallel Tzitzis, because Mila and Tzitzis are both something that's on the guf of the person. Mila, on the body of the person. Tzitzis, worn on the body of the person. Maybe they parallel each other. And the last one would be Chodesh, the moon, and the mezuzah. Perhaps those parallel each other as well. We've said many times that the moon is very much, explains Reb Shamshon Ufal Hirsch, who the Jew is. We go outside at different times of the month, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, it waxes and wanes and wanes and waxes and waxes and wanes. It's large and it's small. Is that not the life of the Jew? There's the ups and the downs, the big and the small, the good and everything. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, the Chodesh, the moon, represents our life, the ups and downs, waxing and waning. That's very much our life. Maybe that's the mezuzah as well. Really, if you look in halacha, one opinion says the mezuzah should be straight up. Another opinion says the mezuzah should be flat down. And we know that we compromise and we do it in the middle. And there are a number of beautiful explanations. One is shalom bayis. You're entering your home. For shalom bayis, you have to compromise. But perhaps we could explain, just like the chodesh, there's waxing and waning, ups and downs. That's the mezuzah! Because the two opinions halachically of the mezuzah, one says it's to be up, and one says it's to be flat down. Because that, and we do the middle, because that's the life of the Jew, the ups and downs, the waxing and waning. So perhaps we could say that the three mitzvahs of Tzemach, Tzitzis, Mezuzah, and Chanukah are precisely
the three mitzvahs that Yosef said have to be there in a spiritual goal, and the Yevonim were seeking to obliterate. Tzitzis, corresponding to the mitzvah of milah, as both are on the body. The idea that there's mezuzah, corresponding to chodesh, as we said, both represent the ups and downs of life. And finally, there is Chanukah, the menorah, which is Shabbos, for both represent the light. May we merit this Chanukah, the bracha, es tzemach David, that by surrounding ourselves by those three mitzvahs, tzitzis, mezuzah, and Chanukah, which we clearly said represents milah, and chodesh, and Shabbos, that it will cause the Shekhinah to dwell with us and amongst us, so that once again we're able to light that menorah in the Beis HaMikdash each and every day, which is the ultimate manifestation of that the Shekhinah is dwelling with us. I wish everyone a lichtige, lichtige Chanukah.